I'd like to speak about a subject that I've thought about for many years. I guess I've preached about it before, but maybe not exactly in this way. And I ask that you'd pray for me, that the Lord would bless me to open my mouth and give me liberty to preach it to His praise and to our edification. Amen. If I was going to title this sermon, I would call it, "When You Know, You Know." Many single people ask married people, "How do you know when you're in love?" And most often times, because it's difficult to put your finger on, the experienced one, or the one who's experienced love in a marriage, will say, "When you know, you know. You just know." That may look different in specifics for every person, but when you know, you know. I knew it when I met Sonia. It took her a little bit longer to know it, but I knew it. Now you remember that. I knew it right off. Took her a little bit longer. Love is many things. It's a noun. It's a verb. It is an object. And it's a person. It is a feeling. And it's an action. Merriam-Webster defines love as a feeling. This is number one, the first definition. A feeling of strong or constant affection for one another, or for another. Number two, an attraction based on desire. Number three, a warm attachment to something. That would be puppy love. Number four, the object of devotion. Or number five, I find it strange that it took them all that time to get to this one, an unselfish, benevolent concern for the good of another. The Bible uses two different words that are translated love in the New Testament. They are phileo, that means brotherly love. And there's also the one that most of us have heard, if you're a Christian and hadn't been hiding under a rock somewhere. You've heard the term or word agape. That word means unconditional, unselfish love. The Bible also uses a word to describe attraction to depraved passions, desire, and a craving for that which is forbidden, and that word is lust. The world uses lust to promote it as love. That's that physical attraction and desire. And it comes from several different words, pathos and eros. Eros is the Greek god of love and desire. It's where we get our word erotic today. Now, that is the basis and ungodly form of affection and desire. It's against God, and it's worldly and carnal. And yet the world promotes that as the best kind. Now I want to talk about this for a minute. We all have a deep desire to belong, don't we? Alienation is a hard, or it's something that people don't want to be. They look to belong to a group. They seek out other people that are just like them so that they can have a sense of belonging. I don't care what group it is. You've got the AHA, the American Homeowners Association. You got the AMA, the American Medical Association. All these people. And it's a collection of people who share the same interest because they share the same interest. They belong. Now, we all desire to have someone, to have a relationship with, to share our experiences with, and to meet the challenges of life with. Would you agree with that? Everybody. I mean, one writer wrote, "No man's an island." Because when you're isolated, you're not part of anything. It's difficult to get along by yourself, isn't it? Deep down, our greatest fear is being alone. I want you to think about yourself. And when all the, I mean, we've got a lot of fears in this world, right? There's so many fears and phobias, right? But I think at the very core of all of it, our fear is, and a lot of people say, when I ask I've asked a lot of people this question, and I said, "What's our greatest fear?" And most of them will say, "Fear of death." What is death? It's a separation. Separation from our family. Separation, for some people, from God. Now, that separation And that fear, that it really goes back to our innate need to have somebody else. Why do we have this? Why do we have this need to live our life together? Have you heard anybody say, "I don't need anybody"? I've heard people say that. They don't know what they're talking about. They say that, but they don't really believe that. They don't really feel that. They're still searching for something on the inside, and yet their mouth declares something else. Now, there's a reason that our greatest fear is being alone. Do you know what the reason is? You know why that's our greatest fear? God said, you know, y'all remember in Genesis? Y'all remember Genesis when God, after 6 days, He created everything that He created and then He rested on the seventh day? Well, do you know what happened? He got Adam and He said, "All right, Adam, you've got dominion over all these animals, and I want you to name them." So God paraded all the animals in front of Him. I'm going to paraphrase for a little while. Y'all go read it. God paraded all of the animals in front of Adam to see what He'd call them, and Adam named every animal. I don't know why He named them what He named them, but He named them. And every other animal that came by Adam, every animal, he saw that they each had a mate. Each one of them had a mate. And yet he looked around at the wide expanse of God's creation and he didn't find anybody that was like him. Nobody was like him. He had no mate. You talk about being alone. That's alone. You know what God said? God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And it's not. And so what did God do? God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And what did He take out of Adam? He took a rib. And with that rib, He made woman. And did you know that He says, "I'll make a help meet for him"? That means an aid, a succorer, person to provide comfort, a person to aid and assist him. If you don't like that, don't get mad at me about it. Talk to God about it. Now, Adam called her woman. You know why? Because she was taken out of man. Taken out of man. And what God took out of man, He made woman. Now, later, Adam called her, named her Eve, because she's the mother of all living. Wonderful. That's a great name. But you know, I want us to look at this. So woman was made from a piece of Adam. And I want us to look at this. It was a rib. What do the ribs do? Adam said, she's bone of my bone. That means she's a part of me. He says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now what do the ribs do? They contain and protect the vital organs, namely the heart. Without that rib, he is lacking, is he not? He's not complete. But with her, he's complete. And Adam, that completeness protects his vital organs. And I want us to think about where this rib is from. He didn't take out the sternum in the front, and he didn't take out the sacrum in the back. That means she's not to stand in front of him, and he's not to stand in front of her. That rib is from the side, which means they walk side by side in this life as a protection. You know, God's a God of order. Did you know that? He didn't do anything haphazardly or by coincidence. She's taken out of his side so that when she is there by his side and they are together, not only is he complete, but she protects him. You know, the Bible in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that ye are not your own, and you don't have, the wife doesn't have power over her body but the husband, and the husband doesn't have power over his body but the wife. So both of you have each other's heart in your hand. Do y'all understand that? When you're together, that means you are both vulnerable to each other, but without, but separate, you're vulnerable to the world. But together, as that one unit, you are vulnerable only to each other, and not, and you've got her heart in your hand, and she's got your heart in hers. Let's protect it. It's protected. It's complete when things are done God's way. Isn't it right? Things, when God gave us instructions and gave us all these illustrations, they're done for a reason, and God knows how to do it. And when we do it God's way, we're protected and we're complete. Now, not only are we protected and complete, but we have security, don't we? When I'm away from Sonia, it's not that I'm insecure, but something is just not right. It's just not right. A picture does me a little bit of good so I can see your face, but I can't hug a picture. I can't receive protection from a picture. I can only have a memory from a picture. and think about the past and dream about the future. It's not reality to me. Now, when a man and a woman are in their rightful place, not the woman in front, not the man in front, side by side, as husband and wife, when they're in their rightful place, as God intended, that's where the protection and security and the completeness is. Without it, there's no security. Without doing it God's way, there's no completeness. Without doing it God's way, there's no protection. There's vulnerability. And everybody's seeking a safe place now, aren't they? You see, when you do it God's way, you feel safe. Because you are. You feel protected because you are. Everybody talks about being vulnerable now, don't they? They don't like to be vulnerable. They're vulnerable because they're not doing things as God intended. Now, the world would have us to believe that love is whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want. That's what the world, and the world, and I'm not going to go into all the various and sundry ways that the world considers love and as acceptable. I'm not going to go into all of them because I don't need to. All I need to do is tell you about the God of love and how He instituted it and God's way. That's all I need to do. Because that's only complete. That's the only complete and perfect way is God's way. Now, why do you think, you know, I've been talking about songs a lot lately. There was a song, old country song, that came out and said, looking for love, where? In all the wrong places. Everybody knows it, don't they? Looking for love in all the wrong places. When you look for love in all the wrong places, do you ever find it? No, you don't. You never find love if you're looking for it in the wrong place. Now, let me ask you. Since the world's idea of love is lust, do they ever find it? Are they ever satisfied? If they're never satisfied, what do they keep doing? Looking for love in all the wrong places. That's what they keep doing. They're vulnerable and they're seeking. They know that they're incomplete and they keep seeking things that will not satisfy and will not protect and will not complete. That's why they keep on thinking that the next one will be the one. The next one will be the one. The grass is always greener on the other side. Everything about the world is dissatisfying and incomplete. Now, folks that are looking for love in all the wrong places and with the wrong people. Are filling, trying to fill a void that's there because they're doing things inconsistent with God's way. And everything they try to put in that void doesn't work. So the void is still there. In effect, they're trying to fill a God-sized hole with everything except God. They're searching for something that they can never find. Don't seem to be able to find it. And they're never satisfied. They still have that yearning on the inside. And friends, when I tell you that the whole world lieth in wickedness, it does. I didn't tell you, the Bible said. Now, when I tell you that there's no satisfaction in the worldly idea of love and what they're putting forth as love, I mean it. When you don't do things God's way, you can't be satisfied. When you do things the way that doesn't honor God, you'll never be satisfied. Never. Now, that void will still be there. Now, I'm not just talking about marriages. I want us to think about this. There's a lot of things that don't satisfy. And the Bible talks about so many things. He said, why do you spend money on that which doesn't satisfy? He said, you're looking for things to satisfy you in all the wrong places. Have you ever said, man, if I could just get blank, I'd be all right. I'd be set. If I could just get blank, I'd be set. And have you got blank and been set? Yeah, you've gotten blank, but you hadn't been set, have you? You just set your eyes on something else after the newness wore off. Man, if I just had a boat. I've said that. Guess what? I've had three in my life, and I ain't been set yet. Wow. How do we know? Remember, we started this out. You know when you know. How do you know that you're complete? How do you know that you're protected? How do you know that you're not vulnerable? Let's turn over to 1 John in chapter 3. John starts this out by saying, behold, that means take a look at, gaze upon inspect what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Just think about that. Think about the manner of love. What kind of love is it? Is it the kind of love that is here today and gone tomorrow? Is it the kind of love that satisfies today, but you're empty tomorrow, looking for something else? That's not the kind of love that God has. God has that agape kind, which means it's unselfish. It's continuing. That means it doesn't end. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Does the world know this? I mean, the question was, how do you know? How do you know? They can't know. The world can't know, because they don't know him. Why don't they know him? How do you get to know him? I mean, this is serious. How do you get the love of God? If you're searching for that void and you can't seem to fill it and find anything to fill the void, how do you get it? If there's something that's going to fix it, tell me. Wow, this whole next chapter talks about it. He says, in the end of chapter 3, and 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Okay, that's good. John, you're talking about the love that we ought to love one another with. That's good. You still didn't answer my question. How do we get the love of God? He says, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. That means you're together, right? And hereby we know that he abideth in us. Here it is. This is how we know. This is how we know. By the Spirit which we asked for. Watch it now. By the Spirit which he hath given us. Amen. Why do we love God? Why do we love God? It's because he first loved us. You remember how I knew that Sonia was for me first, and it took her a little while longer to figure it out? I'm telling you that that's the way it is most of the time, that the man loves He set his affection on the lady, the sister, the woman, before she realizes it, and it took her a little while longer to figure it out. But the love originated, friends, from God, and it came down to us. And I'll tell you that love originated in the portals of glory before He ever said, "Let there be light." In the covenant of grace, before the world began, it says He loved us. Isn't that, that's an everlasting love, isn't it? Loved you before you even were. And He'll love you after death. Separate you from your friends and your families. Behold what manner of love the Father hath given us. My goodness, He not only loved you in His mind and in His purpose before the foundation of the world, but He sent His only begotten Son down here because He loved that people and He loved that world. And so many of them, He called it a world. And not talking about the physical globe that He created. He's talking about His people that He loved. That were the word. How in the world could He love the world that He said that the world don't know Him? He didn't send His love to them. The only way to get to love God is if He loved you first. That's confusing to a lot of people, but it's not confusing to me. It's easy to understand. Now, John talks about this. He begins chapter 4, and chapter 4 is, a lot of them think, and it is, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe, is they call it the love chapter, you know. I'm going to say that there's more than one love chapter in the Bible. And here it is, chapter 4 of 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Why is he talking about spirits? But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. That means against Christ. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. And John says, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So he's talking about trying the spirits. He's not talking about whether some house is haunted or not. He's talking about truth and error. He's talking about belonging to something. He's talking about the difference between God and His family and the world and the carnal lusts thereof. And even those that would try to deceive you into thinking and getting those things to meld together. Now, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. I'm telling you, what kind of love is he talking about here? What's this word for love? He that loveth is born of God. Is he talking about the person that exhibits lust? Does that indicate that they're born of God? Well, they may be. They may be a child of God. Who of you doesn't lust after something? But that's not it. That's not the kind of love he's talking about. Is he talking about brotherly love? There's a lot of people that love people like them, don't they? You know, sinners love sinners too. Is that the kind of love he's talking about? No. He's talking about that agape kind, that unselfish love. I'm telling you, the love of the world is not unselfish. the love that the world has is selfish. That's what lust means. It's selfish kind. Whatever I can get out of it. That's that kind of love. Now, that's not the love God's talking about here. John's talking about. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. He's talking about. He's not talking about the eros kind. He's not talking about the brotherly love kind. He's talking about the agape kind. The man that doesn't love unselfishly knoweth not God, for God is love. God is not the kind, is not the love of the world. He's not that kind of love. He's not lust. He's not brother. I mean, it can be brotherly love, but that's not a love he's talking about. He's talking about agape kind. That's the kind of love God is. But you see, the world will meld all three of those ideas together and just call it love. Just love everybody. Everybody just love everybody. It's a free-for-all. Spread all the love. Spread the love. You hear that every day, don't you? I'm spreading the love. Are you? Are you spreading unselfish, benevolent kind of concern that's lasting to people? If you are, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How do you know? How do you know? Wow, I just want to read all of it. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. You see, isn't that beautiful? And sent His Son to be the propitiation, or expiation, or for our sins. He was a sacrifice for our sins. That's love, brother. I mean, we're not going to get finished with this today, obviously. But I want you to think. He said, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Complete. Secure. Isn't that great? "Hereby we know," or "hereby know we, that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit." That's how you know. That's how you know. I'm just going to read the rest of it. "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Did he send Him to be the Savior of the world that don't hear Him or don't know Him? That He hadn't sent His Spirit to? God's confused if that's true. God's not confused about it. God sent Him to be the Savior of the world that He came to save. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known..." Huh, there's that word again. "We have known. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love." Have y'all ever been afraid? Y'all ever been afraid? Have you ever been afraid in the love not that the love that you and your mate had would be destroyed, but has it really, or get lackluster or wane? Not that kind of fear, but have you ever feared when you were complete with her? I mean, did you fear that she was going to squish your heart? Did you ever fear that? I haven't. Some people might have, because their love might not be that kind. Their love might not be the right kind. I'm sure people are afraid of their husbands and wives and won't be vulnerable to them all the time because they're afraid that what they'll do if they give them their heart. This isn't talking about that kind of love. This is talking about perfect love. Casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. That's a whole nother sermon. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now I want you to know, husbands, wives, if you're afraid of what your spouse will do to you or your heart, you need a more perfect love. You need to listen to what God says and begin to do what God says. Because these marriages are pictures of Jesus Christ and His bride. That's what they are. That's the whole purpose God set up marriage in the first place. Was because that relationship is the most intimate and close and as good as an example as is possible on this earth, as a picture of the love and relationship that Christ has with His bride. And it would behoove us all to be a good picture of that relationship. And remember, when we do it right, God is pleased, and we're not vulnerable. We're not protected. I mean, we're not afraid when we do it God's way. We are protected. We're complete. We love Him, he says, because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. It's pretty plain, isn't it? For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I don't even know how to stop talking about this. But I will say, that if you have a void in your life that you've been trying to fill with something else and never seem to get satisfied, I know what your problem is. You're not doing it God's way. I don't know whether that's joining the church. I don't know whether it's putting down whatever. I don't know what that is for you, but I know that it's something that you're missing. And it has to do with being, with manifesting and walking with Christ. That's what it's got to do with. I don't know what's lacking. I don't know what's void for you. But I know it's got to have something to do with that. Your walk with Christ. If the void is, and look, we started this out. You know when you know. How many of y'all know, have that nagging knowledge on the inside of what you ought to do and that you're just not doing it? How many of y'all have that? Yeah. We all have that. At some point, the longer you let it go on without doing something about it, the more voided you get and feel, and the more incomplete, the longer you go being incomplete, the more disabled you get in your walk with Christ. I pray that this has been informative and edifying to you, and that it was honoring to God, the God of love. Let's love each other. Let's love our brother. Let's love our wives. Wives, let's love our husbands. Let's be in our proper place. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.